Lord, we do acknowledge your greatness. Thank you for the expressions already this morning of the appreciation of this beautiful fall weather. Thank you for the acknowledgement of the joy that we share with one another, being children of God together. God, we thank you for this time so much. We thank you for your word. We pray that as we open it together, that you'll inspire us. Please help us to glean some instruction, Lord, that we can apply to our lives. Thank you for your encouragement, your spirit strengthening us to deal with the tough, messy stuff in life. And thank you too, Lord, that you use us, that you strengthen us to be a blessing to the people in our lives. We pray that you will continue to do your work in and through us, and that we will, again, just learn from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Yesterday, I attended a celebration of life in Anaheim at the church that hired me right out of Bible college. So it was the first church that I worked at as a youth pastor. And we celebrated the life of Larry Baldwin, one of the elders who actually signed my ordination certificate. So I actually pulled that out yesterday and took a copy of it to show his family that how much I appreciated him. Larry was the first thing that came to mind when I heard that he had passed away was a quinceañera. I was just new at the church and the neighborhood there. Someone came by and asked if they could have a quinceañera at our church. I said, sure. And then I said to the leadership of the church, hey, this family has asked to use the church for a quinceañera. And so because I said yes, they allowed it to happen. Started out great. Wow, this is really fascinating. You know, this is a lot of pomp and circumstance. And then I witnessed the biggest party I have ever seen in my life. There was alcohol coming into the church building. There was people from all over the place. And I was like, whoa. Larry, you know, one of the elders in the church, quietly stayed with me the whole night. We were there till, I'm sure, after midnight, maybe after 1 a.m., cleaning up. Never scolded me. Larry was, you know, my first image was Larry with the mop bucket and, you know, the mop and bucket going in to fix a bathroom that they destroyed. And so I was in that building yesterday. I looked at, you know, down the hall and saw that room, and I just pictured Larry there. Helping me, not scolding me. He showed me the life of a servant leader. Just doing what he needed to do in a messy situation and teaching a young pastor. You know, well, I'm sure after that there was a policy about quinceañeras. I'm pretty sure that happened, but and I'm pretty sure that I was told, Mike, you don't say yes until you clear it with the leadership of the church. Probably a lot of things came out of that. But I will never forget Larry in the moment just being this kind, generous. The guy was an electrical engineer, brilliant, very quiet, intelligent. Holy cow. Anyway, so yesterday was a good day of bringing back to me this beautiful life of a servant leader. Today in our study of Jude's letter, we come to the end of his section, the major section on warning against false teachers. And he's calling us to remember the teachings of the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to kind of get into the so what of Jude's letter. Very practical stuff. But today, we're going to look at Jude verses 17 through 19. But, dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. The apostles of Jesus, sent by Jesus. The word apostle means one sent with the authority of the sender. Jesus sent the 12 out as sheep among wolves to preach the gospel. The 12 that Jesus sent out, they stand in relation to the church just like the prophets in the Old Testament stood in relation to Israel. So they were messengers of God. They were sent with his authority. And Jude is calling his readers, the church, to remember the teaching of the apostles. They were sent by Christ. They were sent with the authority of Jesus. The church is described as it being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to the apostles that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him, and that they were to go, therefore, and preach the gospel to all the nations, to all peoples, and that he would be with them to the very end of the age. Well, that great commission to make disciples of all nations is the authority that Jesus gave to the apostles. And so Jude is very wise to remind the church to remember what the apostles taught, what they said. And Jesus sent them with the authority to proclaim the gospel. The Great Commission was to preach the gospel, to teach them God's way of life, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that he would be with them until the end of the age. Jude is appealing to the apostles' teaching. So let's look at the signs of the times. Jesus' ministry was foretold. So when Jesus began his ministry on this earth, he referred to a passage in Isaiah. I'm going to read from Luke, his quoting of that passage. Luke chapter 4, right after he'd been tested in the desert, right, for 40 days. Luke tells us he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him. This is the rest of the story, so to speak. I couldn't stop at 21. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they said. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not that one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. Now listen to this. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Wow. So, that was a lot more than his ministry being foretold. But at the time that Jesus said these things, why he was here, and that was prophecy being fulfilled, they in Nazareth did not like what they heard, because he taught them that God would open the doors of salvation to the Gentiles. And this is not what they wanted to hear. And they were about ready to get rid of him. But it wasn't his time. The last days. That's such an important phrase for us to understand. The last days Jude refers to are the days that we are living in now. It's the same days that they were living in at the time he wrote this letter. The last days are the time between when Jesus came as Savior and when he will return as judge. Okay? See, in that passage in Isaiah, Jesus stopped reading right at the point where the next line was, "And God will come with vengeance." And so today in your hearing, he said, this prophecy is fulfilled. He has come as Savior and Lord. When he returns, he will come as judge. And so these are the last days that we live in. They're the same last days that the readers of Jude's original letter were living in. The last days are the time between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. We don't know when the second coming will be. Anyone who claims to know when the second coming will be, run from them, because they do not know. I don't care how clever and smart they say they are, and I don't care how many connections in the scriptures, they don't know. Jesus told the apostles that he didn't know, but trust him, right? Trust him. It's all about faith. The last days are that time between Jesus' first coming as Savior and his second coming as judge. The two events are the time, they separate the time that we're living in now. And this is a season of salvation. That's the times that we live in. He said there will be scoffers. The descriptive word that Jude uses is of the false teachers, scoffers, phony leaders who come into the church to divide and disrupt the work of the Spirit of God. And then again, each week I think there's a section called these men. Right? Because Jude, and this is the last where he's referring to these men. He said these are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts, and do not have the Spirit. They are habitually divisive, the people who divide you. In Jude's day, he described them as grumblers, as fault finders, as braggarts, and flatterers. They were very selfish, self-focused. They wanted to convince you and me to follow them. They wanted to water down the gospel to get you to follow them. They wanted you to think that unless you were like them, you were of a lower class. They were just like the Pharisees in that regard. They were just like any religious leader who tries to put down the believers, to make them feel like they can't get to God without the leader. It's just not there. That Jesus taught the disciples, if you want to be a leader, you become a servant of all. Yesterday, I would have said, wow, what a great illustration to see Larry with a plunger in his hand. If you want to be a leader, you pick up a plunger and you go fix that beaten up bathroom. You know, that servant leadership, this is what, well, these men are habitually divisive, trying to split us up, to get us to choose sides. Do you know we live in a time when you got to be very careful of the things that you mention? Because if you mention the wrong thing, you're just going to be deemed the other. I see us, them division all the time. And I want to say, church, don't buy it. No, we belong to Him. We're His. And He sent us to serve. He sent us to make a difference in the lives of others, to love and to bring reconciliation, to heal. They are habitually divisive. They follow their fleshly desires. So they're led by the flesh, not by the Spirit. They follow mere natural instincts. You might as well be animals. Come across as bullies. They are self-seeking teachers. Now, listen. Who are they? I want to say, it doesn't matter. God help me not to be that, right? You don't need false teaching. We need to follow the Word of God and do the best we can. But if you're being led by someone who is just following their natural instincts and fleshly desires, that's not good. That is not good. We have to exalt Jesus Christ as Lord and to really promote His way of life best we can. No one's perfect. And we're not here to sniff out, although I got to say, Jude was pretty emphatic about not following the false teachers, because he was passionate about God's people. He was passionate about the church. And he knew that as the apostles would die off, the church would be very vulnerable to slick leaders coming in and taking over and misleading and misguiding the church. So, yeah, I think we can hear some urgency in Jude's teaching about these men. This is a very daunting conclusion. They do not have the Spirit. Wow. That's a grave remark. They do not have the Spirit. They are misled. Through the letter, he's told us that, well, back in verse 4, whose condemnation was written about long ago. God said there would be scoffers, and they will do their best to divide the church, to mislead, to gain their own following, to pad their own pockets, to get their own fame. And he said, they do not have the Spirit. They are not marked by the Spirit of God. They are not marked by love, joy, and peace in their relationship with God. They are not marked by patience, kindness, and goodness in their relationships with one another. They are not marked by faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, those are the marks of a Spirit-led believer. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the singular fruit of the Spirit. Paul told us, that's how you'll know. That's how you'll know. I want Oak Springs to be a church marked by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, because that's the mark of the Holy Spirit. We do not want to be deemed without the Spirit. We are to belong to God. We are to exemplify. Grab our plungers and go out and do what we have to do, right? These men were not that. They were not servant leaders. They were not filled with the Spirit of God. They're spiritual frauds or spiritually dead. Well, here's my so what for you to think about. The gospel is God's love proclaimed. God's love proclaimed. Jesus sent the apostles to proclaim the good news of his salvation. Good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. What made the people in Nazareth so mad was that they were convinced that Jesus, if he were truly the Messiah, would raise Israel up above those dirty Gentiles. That he would make it so clear that the oppression that they had faced was now over and now they're going to be the oppressors. Nope. That wasn't Jesus' message. Not only did he go to the cross for their sins, but he went to the cross for their Gentile neighbors. And that he died on that cross for the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the prisoners free, to give freedom to the oppressed. He took care of it all. And the people in Nazareth, in his hometown, didn't like it. Just like the dividers of the church today don't like it when the grace of God wins to the favor of the oppressed. We've got to be very, very careful about missing that message, about being like the people of Nazareth or being like the false teachers who kind of created an elite spiritual group, you know. Uppity. Yeah, nah. Grab the plunger. No, the gospel is God's love proclaimed. And Jesus made that clear, that it was for the oppressed. It was to set prisoners free. It was to give sight to the blind. To be good news to the poor. Well, and you know, who did Jesus consider poor? Well, everyone, if you consider his teaching about the poor in spirit, we all lack what we need to be godly people. That sense of spiritual bankruptcy without God in our lives, that's who he came to proclaim this good news to. All of us, the poor in spirit, the spiritually bankrupt. False teachers distract and divide. This is back to Jude's warning. There are still scoffers today. They have a selfish spirit that wants your devotion to them rather than to be devoted to Jesus
and they will mislead us.
We do have to be careful about the teachers that we follow. Very interesting, this man Larry was an avid reader. And I remember when you go to a memorial service for someone you haven't seen in a while and you hear these stories, it just brings you right back into their presence. I love that. And, fortunately for me, I go to a lot of these services because of not only my age, but also because I do hospice work, But in this case, the man, he wasn't just a student of the Bible. He was a student of all genres of literature. And he taught children in the church, and he taught adults in the church, and he taught pastors in the church. The man was just knowledge of the word hungry, and his curiosity was infectious. And that's what we can do for each other. We can help each other to not become distracted and divided. What divides us is when we start gossiping down on others, right? And we get this little division going. We got to stop that. I used to think I was pretty good at being a dad, because I used to think that, when I hear gossip among my girls, I'm just going to say something positive about the person who's being put down. And that's not a bad strategy. But I can tell you I wasn't that good at it. Because, division is the way of this world. To pit people against each other is just rampant. But that's not Jesus' way. That's not the apostles' way. And that's not Jude's way. And that's not the church's way. We are not to be distracted and divided by false teaching. Well, and the way that we can accomplish that is to walk in the Spirit. Don't be like the scoffers. Rather, walk in the Spirit. I didn't speak at yesterday's service. But I did tell Larry's wife and kids and many of our dear friends who've remained in that church all these years. Now, mind you, I was hired in that church in 1986. Holy cow! You didn't think I was that old. Well, yes. And there were kids in the church at the time who are in their 40s now. There were kids in my youth group who are in their 50s. I was shocked. But I did remind them about Larry's example to me in the quinceañera experience. A guy named Reinhard Krüger is one of the people that, he's an elder in the church now, and has been there since Lisa and I were in the church all those years ago. And in fact, his elementary age son is in his early 40s with three kids. Noah. It's like, yeah. Anyway, Reinhardt commented that a portrait of a true servant was Larry with both hands on a plunger. And engaged in the messy work of service, humble service in the name of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Jude's passion for the church, for us to be united in Christ, for us to be proclaimers of the good news of Jesus until he returns, that we are in the season of salvation. Yes, judgment will come. But Lord,
if we are to err at all, may it be on the side of love, where we actually extend your grace to people in our lives. Lord, so many in our world today have a negative impression of the Church of Jesus Christ because of hatred and judgment, because of an unwillingness to be understanding. May we not be among a group that is characterized by a lack of the Spirit of God. Lord, help us to be characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. May our relationships be marked by these things. And Lord, in the messy situations, in the surprises and disappointments in our life, will you find us in those places and remind us of your loving presence and give us peace. And we thank you for your generous patience with mankind and with us until you return. Lord, thank you for giving us your word, for helping us to understand the passions of the New Testament writers and the Old Testament prophets. May we live our life the best we can, following your Spirit's teaching and leading. God, as we worship you in our giving, I pray that you'd protect this time to be full of integrity, nothing less and nothing more than a time of giving to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.